Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Yud Dalid. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the upper part of Daf Yud Dalid, the Shiur will commence from the 6th line from the top. In the middle of the line, you will notice a triangle with its point facing up. As we indicated last time, we concluded the shiur literally in the middle of a discussion that requires a ma'akav, the ability to follow the back and forth nature of the discussion, which we are trying to accomplish with the use of these triangles in alternating positions. We've indicated before at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis, with the point facing up, we're in a question mode, and with the point facing down, a response. For a brief recap of our discussion, we saw Rav Huna on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis. He had been noted in a diamond. The diamond is in anticipation of a second diamond, which we also will call Roman numeral number 2 when we get to Daf Amud Yud Dalet Amud Beis. Rav Huna had mentioned in the name of Rabbi Yossi that if a person has a kavona to mefagel the right leg of an animal of a sacrifice, the left leg does not become mefugal. The question is, where does Rav Huna know that from? In the course of the discussion that we had yesterday, after Rav Huna presented his opinion based on either a Svara or a Pasuk, the Gemara raised a question from a Tanaic source that was at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The source said, "La'olam ein bo kores at shifagel b'shteim b'kezayis." This is dealing with the Shechita of the Shnei Kivsei Atzeres, and the slaughtering of the Kivsei Atzeres. These are two sheep that are brought on the Shavuos holiday in anticipation of eating the two loaves, the Shtei HaLechem, that are brought along with them. So we saw a Tanaic source that said that there is no kores until a person has in mind to eat one kezias from amongst both of the loaves. The Gemara had asked, well, that source is according to whom? If it were according to the Rabbanan, there would be pigul even if he did not attempt to combine the two loaves into one, so to speak, where we said in the source, where it says, until he has in mind to eat an olive quantity, a kezias worth, an olive quantity of the shtei halechem, one olive quantity from both breads. Even if he had kavonat eat from one bread, the other bread is mefugal, as we saw the shitas achomim in the Mishnah at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Therefore, the Gemara assumed that it must be Rabbi Yossi, that source is Rabbi Yossi, that ordinarily says that if you have kavona on one loaf, the other loaf is not affected. However, if in your mind you join together the two loaves, Rabbi Yossi says this mental joining can create a single entity. This poses a problem. According to Rav Huna, where something is physically one unit, for example, a sacrificed animal, a slaughtered animal, and while you're slaughtering it, you have kavona to eat the right leg at the wrong time, the left leg remains totally kosher. If Rav Huna is correct, according to Rav Yossi, that something that's physically already one single unit, like an animal body, and yet they are not halachically viewed as one single unit, how could it possibly be that if one mentally tries to join together two disparate units, two separate units, like the two breads of the Shtei HaLechem, how could a mental joining be effective when a physical joining itself does not unify them into one single unit? That is the question. The Gemara then answered that the source that we're raising as a kasha against Rav Huna is in fact not Rav Yossi, but the source is according to Rebbe. And we have seen Rebbe to say that if one mentally joins together the two breads, the joining would be effective. But as far as the source is concerned, Rav Yossi doesn't appear, doesn't deal with this, doesn't figure in the discussion in the Tanaic source. Therefore, Rav Huna is left alone with his interpretation of Rav Huna. However, if Rebbe says what he says, that the mental joining is effective in joining together the two loaves, once again, what do we mean by the mental joining? That when he shechts the kivsi atzeres, he has in mind to eat a single olive quantity from between the two loaves. That idea from between the two loaves, or as the Gemara calls it, is kezayas mishtehen, this mental joining creates a pigul that thereby anyone who eats from either one of the loaves will be chayev. So according to Rebbe, this concept of mental joining is effective. The Gemara now asks Rebbe, who was a later Tanaic figure, according to whom did he say his idea? And we, at this point then, continue with a question, because if it turns out that Rebbe says his idea according to Rabbi Yossi, that will once again pose a problem on Rav Huna. Let's say it again. If we can demonstrate that Rebbe's opinion that this mental joining of two separate loaves is effective in creating a unit of a pigul unit, a unit that if one says he's going to eat one olive quantity from between the two loaves, that's considered a machsheves pigul, and both loaves are affected, then we see a mental joining to be effective. And if it turns out that that's according to Rabbi Yossi, then if a mental joining is effective, then something that's already physically joined certainly is considered a single unit. And if that be the case, if one has a machsheves pigul on the left foot or on the right foot, the other foot will or has to be affected as well. And that if one has a machsheva to eat the right foot of the slaughtered animal at the wrong time, one would be equally guilty if he eats the left foot of that same animal at the wrong time because of the machsheva that he had on the right foot. That will pose, once again, a problem for Rav Huna. Now, turning to the Gemara, six lines from the top, the Rebbe Aliba Deman. Rebbe, who is supposedly the author of the source at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis, where it said, La'olam einu chayav ad shi'fagel b'shteyem b'kezayis, according to which Tana did he say that idea? E Aliba de Rabbonon. If his statement is according to the Rabbonon, then there's no need to come on to a kezayis echod b'shteyen, afilu ba'achas mehem nami. Even if he slaughtered the kivsi atzeres with the intent of eating a kezayis quantity from one of the loaves, the other loaf is affected. That's the shita of the Rabbonon. And we saw that shita in the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, where they said, zeh v'zeh pigol. Elo Aliba de Rav Yossi. So Rebbe, who was a later Tanaic figure, must have said his opinion according to the earlier Rav Yossi. Well, if that be the case, then Hodra Kushan Leduchtei. The question comes back to its original spot. Namely, if Rebbe is a reflection of Rav Yossi, we see, according to Rav Yossi, this mental joining of the two loaves together. Namely, when he says, a kezayis from between the two loaves, both loaves are affected. Then something that's already physically one unit, certainly if you have a machshava on one leg, the other leg certainly should be a pigul. And of course that's against Rav Huna. Rav Huna said pigul b'yerech yamin, the lo nispagel hayerech shosmol. The Gemara answers le'olam aliba derabanan. The source that we saw on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis is, in fact, according to the Rabbanan. Velo teimo, and don't read the source as saying, ad shifagel b'shtehen, until he has a machsheves pigul on both of the loaves. Elo emo ad shifagel bishnehem v'afilu be'achas mehen. Here we have to emphasize the grammar. If by saying do not refer to shtehen, shtehen is a reference to the loaves. Shtehen being in the feminine gender, a reference to the chalois, which is also in the feminine gender. And we're told here, rather, state, ad shifagel b'shnehen, that's in the masculine gender, that's a reference to the kvosim, to the sheep, the two sheep. And it's telling us that there is, when is there pigul? Ad shifagel b'shnehen v'afilu ba'achas mehen. That means if you have a machsheves pigul while slaughtering the two sheep, and you have a machsheves pigul concerning the loaves, let us say, you slaughter both sheep with the intention of eating, even if it be one of the loaves, at the wrong time, so that will cause pigul with regard to both loaves. That is in accordance with Shitas HaRabbanan. So what's the chiddush of the source? This source is telling me lafuke midi Rabbi Meir, to the exclusion of the approach Rabbi Meir would take, the Omar mefaglin b'chatzi matir, Rabbi Meir would say in the case of the slaughtering of the sheep, even if you slaughter one of the sheep with an intention of eating the bread at the wrong time, pigul would set in. Komash malon delo, this source is telling me not so. When will Machsheves pigul set in? Only if you have kavona, you have intention, a pigul intention, when you that continues through both sheep, the slaughtering of both sheep. Rabbi Meir, as the Gemara mentions, holds mefaglin b'chatzi matir, that pigul can be established even if one has a machsheves pigul during half of the matir. So what's the matir? What allows the loaves to be eaten? The slaughtering of the two sheep. What's chatzi matir? What's half of two? One of the sheep. So according to Rabbi Meir, the slaughtering of one of the sheep would cause the pigul mindset to affect the loaves. We are telling you in this source that it's not sufficient to have a machsheves pigul during the slaughtering of only one of the sheep, but you have to have the machsheves pigul, this mindset of eating the bread at the wrong time, during the slaughtering of both of the sheep. The Gemara asks a question, but you'll notice in this Gemara we have a very long question at hand. This is indicated by the long question marking. You can see to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a little kuf that's in a triangle. The kuf is kushya, with a vertical dashed line. And this continues and continues till the top of Yud Dalid Omid Beis. The question itself is made up of several parts, and this is illustrated by the special geometric form, the volcano form, trapezoid shape, that you see alongside this triangle. Several more will appear as we go along in the Gemara, and the outside margin we've indicated under our Mivneh heading. Mivneh heading is a structural note. We attempt to provide topic headings and or structural notes as we go along the Gemara in our Shas Ozer Gemara marking system. In this case, you see the Mivneh, the structural note, and the trapezoid form featured, and we've written Sidra Shel Kushios, a series of questions, Shehem Mehavim Kushya Ha'aruka, that they form the long question, She Misumenes B'tzad Yamin Shel HaGemara. This long question is marked at the right-hand side of the Gemara text. So as we go along with the long question, we're working off the assumption right now that the source is according to the Rabbanan, and it's to be read as the Olam Eino Pigul Ad Shifagel B'Shnehem, until you have the Machsheves Pigul during the slaughtering of both of the sheep. Even if your thoughts are focused on one of the loaves. And the whole point of this source is simply to the exclusion of Rabbi Meir's opinion. The Gemara asks, Ihachi, if this is the explanation for the source on Yud Gimel Amid Beis, my le'olam, why is there the use of le'olam? Le'olam is an expression indicating that we're trying to tell you something very novel, some big or new information. E amris bishlamo bishtehen u vishnehem for Rabbi Yosi. If you tell me that the correct understanding of the source is that there is no kores until, kores being the penalty associated with pigol, until he has a machsheves pigol during both of the sheep and concerning both of the loaves, and v'Reb Yosihi, and this would be in accordance with Reb Yosi, the idea of having, of creating machsheves pigol on both of the loaves only if you have thoughts concerning both of the loaves is characteristic of Reb Yosi. And if we say that that's the pshat, that that's the understanding of the source, notice, b'shtehen is a reference to the two loaves, and b'shnehem is a reference to the two sheep. So that if you say that there is no pigol until he has a machshava during both sheep concerning both loaves, and the source in fact is Reb Yosi, and don't forget, by setting up the source as Reb Yosi, this presents a problem for Rav Huna. And that's why we have this triangle. And we might as well point out now that the triangle has its point facing up, which is a question. It's going to be a question that goes back as a problem for Rav Huna. This question continues till the end of the sugya, in the sense, end of this whole approach, until we get to Rabbi Yochanan at the top of Amud Bey. Second line from the top, you'll notice Rabbi Yochanan with the diamond, who's Roman number 2. This Roman number 2 is a throwback to the number 1 on Yud Gimel Amud Bey's, with which we used to signify Rav Huna. Rabbi Yochanan will represent or presents a different approach to the issue of Pigel, the Yerech Yamin, what is the din with regard to Regel Smol. He will disagree with Rav Huna. So that this long question essentially is a knockout on the Rav Huna approach as far as the structure of this Gemara is concerned. So in the meantime, we're saying that it would make most sense if we set up the source that was asked as a kasha on Rav Huna, in fact, as a kasha on Rav Huna, by establishing that the source is according to Reb Yosi. And once again, just to remind us of something we mentioned a few times before, if we say this, then what we see in that source that we saw on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis, we see a mental joining being effective. The source had said, "Lo lemein bokoris ad shiyafagel b'shtehen b'kazayas," that the kazayas quantity, which is the olive quantity, which is that which is required in order to establish pigol, you can develop the olive quantity by an olive amount from between both of the loaves. And so what am I in effect doing? I'm joining the loaves together into a single unit, a mental single unit. And I'm saying that I'm having a thought concerning a kazayas quantity that comes from between the two loaves. If Reb Yosi is saying that a mental joining is effective, then when something's physically joined, then all the more it's considered one unit. So this presents the problem to Rav Huna. So if we say that the source, in fact, is according to Reb Yosi, and he has a machshava in order to create the pigol, he had to have had a machshava during the slaughtering of the shneihem, both sheep, concerning both of the loaves. Ula fuke midrabi meiru midrabanon kaasi, and the purpose of this source is in effect to the exclusion of Shitas Rabbi Meir, and to the exclusion of Shitas HaRabbanan. We'll go over that point in a moment, so that the source is coming with a great deal of power. It's trying to say that the way to create pigol is this way, and with this statement we are excluding, or to the exclusion of two other Tanaic opinions, namely to push off, if you will, Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. Hainu dekama li'olam, then I understand the use of the word li'olam, which, as we mentioned before, indicates some type of dramatic information, dramatic new information, or powerful information. What do we mean, by the way, that it's, we said the source would be according to Rabbi Yosi and to the exclusion of Rabbi Meir? Well, this we just saw a few lines above. According to Rabbi Meir, even without a machshava during both of the sheep would be sufficient if one had a machshava's people during the slaughtering of one of the sheep. That's Shitas Rabbi Meir, that mefaglin b'chatzi matir. That pigol can be accomplished if one has a machsheva's pigol during the processing of one of the matir elements. The two sheep, each one is a matir of the breads. And in the source, we're saying that the pigul is established only if you have a machshava during both of the sheep slaughtering. That is to the exclusion of Rabbi Meir. What do we mean when we say to the exclusion of the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan had mentioned that if you have a machshava during one, concerning one loaf, the other loaf is also becomes pigul. According to the teaching in this source, the thought concerning one loaf would not be sufficient to affect the second loaf. The only time both loaves are effective is if you have a machshava's pigul concerning both of the loaves. And the chiddush of the source is that the machshava's pigul can be from a single kezias quantity from between the two loaves. The Gemara goes on, Elo, I amris, Rabbanan, ulafuki, midri meir, mai liolam. If you say that the source is not according to Rabbi Yossi, but it's according to the Rabbanan, and the whole point is simply to the exclusion of Rabbi Meir concerning the issue of Mefaglin Bechatzi Matir, why does the word liolam appear in the source? The Oid. Furthermore, Ha'omar Rav Ashi Toshma. Rav Ashi brings a Tanaic source in which Rabbi Yossi is featured. And we will see at the end of this particular it's a very long stage in the question. In other words, until you get to the next volcano form, we'll be preoccupied with Rav Ashi's point. And the point, after all said and done, is that one can have a machshava during one item that's not connected to the other item, and the other item yet gets affected. If you say that Rabbi Yossi says such a thing, that the machsheva's pigul concerning one item can have an effect on a detached second item, then all the more so, if one has a machsheva's pigul concerning the right leg of an animal, the left leg should certainly be nispagel, and that's not like Rav Huna. So let's now see all of this inside. Viod Homer Ravashi Toshma. Ravashi says, come in here from the following source. Rebbe Oimer Mishum Rabbi Yossi. What we've done with our markings, we've dashed underline Rabbi Yossi because this is the focus of our discussion. We're trying to see how to understand Rabbi Yossi. We saw how Rav Huna thought one should understand Rabbi Yossi. We'll see a different approach as we continue in a Tanaic source, and hence this will present a problem for Rav Huna. Rav Huna being an Amora. So the Rebbe said in the name of Rabbi Yossi, if one has a machshevas pigul, pigel, and we break this down with a colon, aleph, bedover hanase b'chutz, pigel. If one's machshevas pigul concerns something that's done in the azora, then b'chutz means in the azora, then the pigul is effective, it sets in. However, if he's mefagel, that's bedover hanase b'fnim, something that's done in the Heichal, lo pigel. Ketzat, the source itself provides examples. And with our markings, we've attempted to break things down into, we'll say, logical breakdowns or subtopics with our underlinings that you see. Here you see an underlining Hoya Oymed Bechutz, and a few lines later, you'll see another an example of Hoya Oymed Befnim, and a third example later on of Hoya Oymed Bechutz. So, the Braiso here will explain what was just taught. Hoyoime Bachutz, he is standing in the Azara of Yomar Harini, Shoichir al Manas, Lahazois Midomo Lamochar. I'm slaughtering a sacrifice. Let us say we're talking about a Chatas HaPnimi. These Chatas HaPnimi is a reference to different types of sin offerings whose blood is sprinkled in the Heichal, which is very unusual. Examples of a Chatas HaPnimi include the Chatas Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, the Par Kohen Moshiach, the Par Yom HaKippurim. These are animals that are slaughtered in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and he is there, and he's declaring, I'm slaughtering the animal with the intention of sprinkling the blood on the curtain in the Heichal Lamochar. That's the next day, which is the wrong time. Loi Pigel. This does not establish a pigul status to the sacrifice. Why? Shemachshava b'chutz, he has a machshava while in the azora, b'dover hanase b'fnim, concerning an action that's done in the heichal. The heichal being the enclosed part of the Beis HaMikdash, the area that contains the menorah and the pshulchan of the lechem aponim and the mizbeach hazov, as well as the kodesh hakodashim. Hoya oimei b'fnim, he imagine you have a Kohen standing in the Heichal, the Omar, and he declares, Hareini Mazeh, I'm doing this sprinkling of the blood on the curtain that separates the Kiddush from the Kiddush HaKadoshim, Almanas Lahaktir Emurin Lamocher Velishboch Shirayim Lamocher, with the intention of offering the innards of the animal, which is generally speaking done with the innards are offered on the exterior Mizbeach, the Mizbeach that stood in the courtyard. Or he says, I'm doing this Hazor Saddam on the curtain with the intention of spilling the remnant, the residue blood on the base of the outside Mizbech, but when? Lamochar, which is the wrong time. Nevertheless, even though he has machshavas concerning korban activities at the wrong time, lo pigel. Nevertheless, pigel does not set in. Shemachshava b'fnim b'dover anaseh b'chutz. This is an example of someone having a machshava while in the heichal, while he's doing the Hazor Saddam on the curtain, concerning an action that's done outside. So where you have machshava in one area concerning an action done in the other area, pigel does not set in. What about this case? New case. He's standing in the Azor and he says, Hareini Shechet, I'm slaughtering this animal, this korban, Almanas Lishboch Shirayim Lamochu L'Akti Yimurim Lamochor, with the intention of spilling the residue blood tomorrow, or with the intention of offering the innards of this korban tomorrow. Ah, in this case, Pigel, Shemachshova Bachutz B'Dover Hanase Bachutz. This is an illustration of a machshava, the Kohen having his thought, stating his declaration, while in the Azara concerning an action which is supposed to be done in the Azara. Now, we said that establishes Pigel. Now, let's focus on the case that we just saw. He is slaughtering an animal with the intention of spilling the residue blood the next day. That's Lishpoch Shirayim the next day. Well, what becomes Mifugal? What part of the animal that if one were to eat it, he would be guilty of eating Pigel? Because we just said that if you slaughter the animal with the intention of doing shvicha shirayim, the residue, spilling the residue blood, the next day, you've created pigel. Well, what becomes pigel? What exactly becomes pigel? When we talk about something becoming pigel, we're telling you that if you then go ahead and eat it, one will be chayev kores. So the Gemara wants to clarify, if guli mai, what in fact becomes pigel? Without remarkings, we do this from time to time when there are several stages in a discussion, which often is accompanied by the expressions elamo elo. It says, if you say this, then well, you can't really say that. Elo, so try this. So in this case, you'll see a squiggle underline under elamo, and a few lines later, elo. These are different stages of trying to figure out the answer to this particular question, this detail. We said that a machshava while slaughtering the animal in the Azora concerning spilling the residue blood, which is a process done as in the course of a sacrificial offering, where the spilling of the blood takes place at the base of the external altar. He, in this case, has in mind to do that action the wrong time, the next day, on Lamochar, tomorrow. We said that the korban becomes pigel. What exactly becomes pigel? E lemo lif gulei dam, that the blood becomes pigel. That at the point that he slaughters the animal with the intention of spilling the residue blood the next day, well, if you're telling me that, well, the blood becomes pigel, and that if one were then to eat the blood, not only would he be in violation of blood eating, which is a sin, but he would also be in violation of eating that which is labeled now as pigel, that's not true. Dam mi mifgal, does blood become labeled as pigel? It doesn't. It never gains the status of pigel. For Hatnan, we have the following rule that establishes when or what is it that can become pigel. The source says, Elu dvarim she'ein chayavim aleihem mishum pigel. The following items are those things that cannot become pigel. And they include, amongst other things, at the end of the list, you can see we've dashed underlined the key word for our point, is the word hadam. So in this list we see the following things cannot become people. Hakoy mitzvah levoyin of akturas uminchas koyanim uminchas nesachim uminchas koyin moshiach. All of these things, v'hadam. We don't have to dwell on what each one of these items are at this point in our shiur. It's sufficient to see that in this source it says, dam is something that's ein chayovim aleihem mishum pigul. And with our markings, we've dashed underlined the key expressions. In this source, we've dashed underlined she'ein chayovim mishum pigul, the dam. So when you say that a person stands in the courtyard, slaughters a chatas hapnimi, and has kavona for shvicha shirem lemochor, that it becomes pigol, what becomes pigol? Elopshito liv gulei bosar. The meat of this animal becomes pigol. And that means that if one were to then, after this slaughtering took place with this incorrect mindset, if one were to then go ahead and do all of the properties, zrikos hadam, finish we accomplish what's called karev hamatzer kimitzvah, and then go and eat the meat, he would be guilty of pigol. Now, we ask our question. The question now comes to a head. Hashto ma hosam de lo choshiv bei bebosar gufei. Om Rabbi Yossi Mifgal. In the case we just described, where he wasn't, his thoughts were not on the meat itself. He was thinking about spilling the residue blood the next day. And we're saying that creates pigol, that the meat becomes pigol. Okay, and this is all according to Rabbi Yossi, that according to Rabbi Yossi, the meat becomes pigol. Hocha, the choshiv bei bezevach gufei, the case of pigel beyerech yamin, the case that Rav Huna was addressing, where he's thinking about, he's slaughtering the animal with the intention of eating the right leg tomorrow, for beyond the right time. And we say that he has a machshava concerning the right leg. And it's a machshava directed at the meat itself. Lo kol shekein, the pigel b'yerech yamin, pigel b'yerech smol. Doesn't it stand to reason all the more so that if he has a machshava concerning the right leg, the left leg will also become affected and labeled as pigel, which is counter to Rav Huna. Let's go over this last point again. If when you have a thought concerning the blood, the spilling of the shirayim tomorrow, the meat gets affected. In that case, I did not have any meat machshavas. The meat becomes effective as fallout, so to speak, from his machshavas concerning the blood. When someone has a machshava concerning the meat itself, some aspect of the meat itself, certainly the other meat shall become affected. And that is all according to Rabbi Yossi, which is counter to the way Rav Huna presented Rabbi Yossi. Rav Huna had said, according to Rabbi Yossi, if one has a machshavas pigul on the Yerech Yamin, the Yerech Smol is not affected. The Oid Ha'oma Ravina, Toshma. This is another stage, another question, and you can see this is illustrated by our volcano shape. The source begins, Ha'kemetz is Ha'mincha, Lechol shireo, lahakdir koim silamochor. If someone takes a handful of a meal offering with the intention of eating the shirayim, the remainder, or with the intention of burning this handful that he is taking right now, he has intention while taking the handful of the mincha to burn the koimetz the next day. Moide Rabbi Yossi bezu, Rabbi Yossi will concede in this case shepigel that. This does establish pigul, the chayovin olav kores. This, by the way, is, in this case, Rabbi Yossi concedes that this creates real pigul. This is in contrast to the case where, let's say, someone takes the koimetz, the handful of the meal offering, with the intention of burning the lavona the next day, the spice that accompanies a mincha offering. There, Rabbi Yossi does not say that the korban becomes pigol mamish. He will concede that it becomes its posel, but not pigol mamish. But in this case, where he takes the handful of the mincha offering with the intention of burning that very handful the wrong time, the next time, Rabbi Yossi says that it becomes pigol and there will be a chiyuv kores. Now, focusing on this particular example, he takes the handful with the intention of offering, of burning the handful the next day. Livgulei, what becomes pigol? Ilemo livgulei koimetz. If the handful itself is said to become pigol, and that if one were to eat that handful, he would be guilty of kores. That's just not true. Kometz mi mifgal. Does the kometz become pigol? This we saw just before in the source, and it's quoted again. Eilu dvarim she'ein chayavim lemishvikul pigol. The items that cannot become affected by pigol include hakometz v'chulei, etc. This is the source that we saw above, and for our purposes, all we have to do is emphasize, and we've done it with our dashed underlined the word kometz, and the source says it's ein chayavim lemishim pigol. So we can't say that the kometz, the handful, becomes labeled as pigol. So what does become labeled as pigol as a result of taking the handful with the intention of burning the kometz tamara alapshita levgulei shirayim? The remainder flour becomes pigol. Now, what do we see in this example? We see in this example, which we saw, by the way, we should have emphasized before, but it's never too late. We saw Moide Rabbi Yossi, just a few lines up. Rabbi Yossi says that in this case there is pigul, and we're saying now what becomes pigul? The shirayim becomes pigul. Now, did he have kavona? Did he have any mindset directed at the shirayim? No. Hashto mahasim delo choshevu b'shirayim gufei. He didn't have intentions concerning the remainder flour at all. He had, his intentions were simply concerning the burning of the hand the next day, and yet you say mifkili, and yet the shirayim become victim of pigol. Hocha, in the case of pigol b'yerach yamin, the choshev behu bezvicha gufa, where he has his mindset is focused at the meat itself. Lo kol shekain, all the more so, the other leg should become pigol. Let's go over this point again. If while thinking about the handful, the shirayim become pigul. Now the shirayim are disconnected, if you will. They're not related. They're separate at this point from the handful. And yet the shirayim become affected by a machshava on something else, where you have a machshava that's focused on the meat itself. You're thinking about eating the right leg at the wrong time. The left leg certainly shall become labeled as pigol. And that is not like Rav Huna. This is the end of what we see marked as the long question that was directed at Rav Huna. Therefore, we now come on to a new approach. Elo am Rav Yochanan. Hainu taimo de Rav Yossi. Before we go on in the Gemara, let us take a look at the nosei, the topic heading in the outside margin. Shitas Rabbi Yosi lahasbir es Rabbi Yosi b'shnei halechem. We want to gain an understanding of Rabbi Yosi with regard to the shtei halechem, the two loaves that are brought on Shavuos, along with the two sheep that are slaughtered beforehand, and after their slaughtering and processing, the loaves are eaten by the kohanim. Shemitzad echad oimer de'im pigel bezu lo pigel bezu. On the one hand, Rabbi Yossi says that if you had kavona concerning one loaf, the other loaf does not become victim of the pigel status. Demashmashen shnei gufim. It sounds from this that they're viewed as two separate entities. Mitzad sheni, from another standpoint though, im chishev lechol mishneim kezayis, if he has intention to eat a singular kezayis quantity from between the two loaves, pigul, the both loaves become pigul. Demitzarfois, that there's tziruf, which indicates chad gufohem. It indicates that they are, in effect, one entity. The Rashi, at the second line from the top, is quite necessary before we proceed in the Gemara. Elam Rabbi Yochanan, Lesa l'Rav Huna. This is the justification for our use of a diamond and labeling it as Roman numeral number 2. Rabbi Yochanan is disagreeing. He disagrees with Rav Huna. V'im pigel b'yamin pigel b'smol. Namely, if one processes a sacrifice with the intention of eating the right leg at the wrong time, the left leg also becomes forbidden as pigel. We've already seen that if one has kavana concerning the blood, nispagel basar, the meat becomes labeled as pigal. So all the more so where you have kavana concerning the right leg, the left leg will also become affected. The gabi chalois hainu time the Rabbi Yossi. With regard to the loaves, the following is the reason for Rabbi Yossi's approach. The Omar b'masnis in the tray gufi ninu. In the Mishnah, he indicated that if you shech the kivosim with the intention of eating one of the loaves at the wrong time, the other loaf does not become affected, which shows that they are two separate entities. The pigel bazulonis paglazu. If he has the pigel intention concerning one loaf, the other loaf does not become pigel. Uli el katoni, Rashi goes on to say, b'shteyen b'gazayas. We saw the Tanaic source at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis that if he has intention to eat from between the two loaves one kizayas, that they both become pigal. The mashma de mitzdarfois. It's mashma that the two loaves can in effect join together. The chad gufoninu. That would teach us that it's one guf. So we have to resolve these two approaches that Rabbi Yossi himself seems to take with regard to the same item. The Gemara now. Elo Om Rabbi Yochanan. Hainu Taima de Rabbi Yossi. This is the reason for Rabbi Yossi's dual approach. Hakosuv Ason Guf Echad. The Posuk views the two loaves as one entity, as a singular entity. Vakosuv Ason Shnei Gufin. And the Posuk refers to them as two separate entities. The psukim themselves that the Gemara is referring to are quoted by the Rashi. One can see this by looking in the Rashi. We offer in our marked Gemara some helpful markings. We have triangles where each one of these points are featured. But we will go on in the Gemara itself by now recognizing that there are psukim to express both seemingly contradictory definitions, yet both can coexist. Guf echad, the idea that the shtei halechem are guf echad, are one entity, deme'akvi ahadodi, that you do not fulfill your requirements if you have only one loaf. The other loaf is necessary, and its presence is binding. Shnei gufin, the idea that the two loaves are considered two separate entities, D'yom Rachmana, ha l'chuda avida, v'ha l'chuda avida. You are to prepare each loaf separately. Now the halachic outcome of this is as follows. Arvinu, if in your mind you intended to eat one kezias from between the two loaves. That's what we arvinu means. You mix them together. You join them together. Mis arvin, they in effect do combine to hakosuv ason guf echad, because the pasuk itself refers to them as a singular entity. Palginu, if in your mind you split them up, namely you slaughtered the sheep, the kifsetzers, with the intention of eating one of the loaves at the wrong time. Miflegi, they remain separate, and the other loaf does not become pigal. Da'akosav ason shnei gufin, because the pasuk refers to them as two separate items. Boy, Rabbi Yochanan, pigal belachme toida mahu, b'mayfe b'minchas mayfe mahu. The lachme todah, the todah sacrifice, besides the sheep that's brought, there are 40 loaves that accompany it. The 40 loaves are made up of 4 different kinds of baked goods. 10 loaves of each different type of baked good. Let us say someone slaughtered the todah sheep with the kavana of eating one of the 4 kinds of todah at the wrong time. Do the other loaves, the other kinds, the other type of baked goods that constitute the korban todah, do they become affected? The minchas maifa is a type of mincha, a type of meal offering that is comprised of two kinds of loaves. One are called chalos and the other are called rikikin. There are five chalos and five rikikin that constitute this kind of meal offering, this minchas maifa. What is the din? What does Rabbi Yossi say about this? Where, as we just said, if he has a machshavas pigul concerning one of the two kinds of loaves, do the others get affected? Now Rashi adds a very important point of information in to understand the basis of this question. You'll notice in the Rashi there's a star with the word mahu circled, because this is really the focus. Mahu, what is the din according to Rabbi Yossi in these with regard to these last two examples? Mi omar hoyol v'koymetz echod l'shnehem. Are we to say that since in the case of the minchas maifa he takes one kometz for both kinds of loaves, so that the fact that one kometz, one handful of meal offering, is sufficient to cover both kinds of loaves, then we are really viewing them as one entity? Lo polig Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi would not argue in this case like he does in the Mishnah. V'impiga b'chalos nispaglu rikikin. And if he had a machshevas pigul concerning the chalos alone, the rikikin would also become ruined. Oy dilma kevo d'shnei minim havya, since they are two separate kinds of baked loaves, polig, they are separate entities, and Rabbi Yossi will disagree. Namely, he will maintain his position that if you have a machshava concerning one type of loaf, the others are not affected. We should also, maybe we're working a little bit backwards, but with regard to the lachmei todah, the same analysis is appropriate. Do we say that since one sheep is brought, which in effect is matir all of the loaves to be eaten, so even though he has machshava concerning one of the four different kinds of varieties, all of the other three will also become pigul? Or do we say that since the loaves are four different kinds of baked goods, Rabbi Yossi will stick to his original dissenting opinion and hold that the machshava on one kind of loaf does not affect the other loaves? So the question has been raised. This was Rabbi Yochanan's question. The Gemara answers, Tana lei Rav Tachlifa mimarova. Rav Tachlifa states a Tanaic source that serves to answer Rabbi Yochanan's question. V'chein ata omer. Now this v'chein ata omer means, and here you will also say, meaning, just like we saw Rabbi Yossi disagreeing in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi will disagree here too, meaning that a machshavas pigul on one kind does not affect the other kinds. V'chein ata omer b'lachmei todah, v'chein ata omer b'minchas maifa. Here you see the lachmei todah, which was part of the question, and the maifa, minchas maifa, which was also part of Rabbi Yochanan's question, are answered over here. Namely, that Rabbi Yossi holds that even though in the case of the lachmei todah, one sheep matirs all of the loaves, and in the case of the minchas maifa, one kometz is matir all of the two different, the all ten loaves, five and five, the two different kinds of baked goods, nevertheless, a machshava on one variety does not affect the others. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading featuring the new discussion. Machshava b'shnei avoidos. This is on the outside margin. You see under the nosei heading. One has a machshava, a machshavas pigul, while doing two of the four sacrificial activities, b'shnei avoidos, b'chol echol al chatzi zayas, while doing a particular activity, has a machshava on half an olive quantity to be eaten at the wrong time. In order for pigul to set in, as we've mentioned numerous times before, one has to have a machshava concerning a minimum of a kezias quantity, an olive quantity. In this case, during each of the two activities, he has a half kezias in mind. Katani, we see a source that says the mitstarfis, that they join up, even though during any one activity he does not have a sufficient quantity in mind. Nevertheless, the fact that he has in mind a two half zasim, they join up to create people. Hagemara tevarer be'eza avoidois medubar. The Gemara will try to clarify regarding which activities are we talking about. Turning to the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, b'shas shchita chishev lechol chatzi zayis. While he's slaughtering, he has in mind to eat a half olive quantity at the wrong time. U'b'shas zrika chishev lechol chatzi zayis. The chatzi zayis, the at the wrong time, or lemochar, tomorrow, assuming that we're not talking about a shlomim. The source says, pigul. This establishes pigul. Mitnei sheshchita uzrika mitstarfin. Because these two activities join up. This dash underlining will be necessary for later in the Gemara. So in this source we see two activities featured. We see shchita, and we see zrika. In the offering of an animal sacrifice, there are four activities that are of importance for this discussion. We have the slaughtering, the shchita. There's kabbalah, receipt of the blood. Holocha, the carrying of the blood to the mizbeach. And zrika, and finally the sprinkling of the blood on the mizbeach. In this source, we see that the first and fourth activities join up. How do we figure in a half zayas during Kabbalah and a half zayas during Hoylocha, the middle stages 2 and 3? The Gemara has two approaches to this issue. Ika di Amri, some say Shchita Zrika de Travayu Matirin in Kabbalah v'Hoylocha loy. One approach says that Shchita and Zrika have something in common. They're both considered matirin. What do we mean by that? Well, Shchita sanctifies the blood. The fact that you slaughtered it with a knife, that the knife, so to speak, is mekadesh, sanctifies the blood, making it ready or available to be sprinkled on the altar. The idea of the Zrika being a matir, that means that once upon sprinkling the blood, the meat becomes mutter for consumption. So it might be that these two activities, which are labeled as matirin, there the half zayas during each one can join up one with the other to form a full zayas quantity. However, kabbalah v'halacha, the receipt of the blood and the carrying of the blood, they are not matir activities. Lo, the half zayas during each one of them would not join up. Namely, if let's just cite this example. If one receives the blood of the sacrifice with the intention of eating a half zayas at the wrong time, and then proceeds to carry the blood to the altar, carries the blood with the intention of eating a half zayas at the wrong time, there they would not join up because kabbalah and halacha are not matirin. The Ika di Amri, another approach, suggests to the contrary. Hanoch de merachikon, shchita and zrika, which are distant from one another, namely shchita being the first, number one, and in the list of activities, and zrika being number four, they are far from one another, and yet they're able to join up. The chatzi zayas during shchita and the chatzi zayas machshava during zrika join to form a full zayas. Ve'kol shekein hani the mikrovon, and certainly a half zayas thought during kabbalah and holocha, which are near one another after kabbalah immediately follows holocha, that certainly they should certainly be able to join up. At this point, we see a triangle, and this triangle is a new marking as far as this sugya is concerned. On the outside margin, we see a nosei called hemshich, a continuation, and mivneh, a structural note. The triangle is part of a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a back and forth discussion. In the opening sugya, we also made note of this phenomenon of the need to keep track of questions answers. With the point facing up, this will represent a kushya. when the shape flips over with the point facing down, that will represent a response, a tshuva. We've noted a little bit of a game plan for the Gemara ahead of time in our introductory note. HaGemara mevi'a mokor shiltoni Levi. The Gemara will bring a Tanaic source that Levi teaches. Shekotoni, that teaches the Ein Siruf besof, the Ein Siruf, that there is no joining up of half olive quantities during separate avodos. Besof ma'alach HaGemara. Hanisayon liyashev hamakoros. Nidche. At the end of this approach, there will have been an attempt to resolve these two sources. The original source where we had featured a dashed underline that said mitstarfin, and the Toni Levi source where we will see a dashed underlining that says Ein Mitstarfos. The Gemara tries to resolve, Rava tries to resolve the two sources, but at the end of this discussion, the resolution to resolve them will be rejected. Et Zeh, to this point of the rejection, Efshulirois Boifen Chazuti, one can see visually Al Yedei Ma'akav Achar Kivunei Mishuloshim. If one follows the order or the position of our triangles, one will notice that we end off with a problem, so to speak, with a question. The Ho'acharoin, the last one, is with the point facing up, Hu Simun Shel Kushya V'Sugya Seino. So if you scan down the page, you'll notice the last triangle to appear is a triangle with the point facing up, indicating that our attempt to resolve the discrepancy between the two sources meets with no success. Or in simpler words, the Toni Levi source is left unexplained. We turn back to the Gemara, the first wide line, the second word line, you notice, Eini, a question. We're coming on the heels of having learned the idea of Tziruf, the combining of half olive quantities, concerning which one had a Machsheves Pigel, while doing separate sacrificial activities. And yet, we saw there is join up, there's Tziruf. The Gemara asks, Eini, is that really so? From the following, we will see that there's no tziruf. The Hotoni Levi, Arba Avoidois, Ein Mitstarfois Lepigol. The four sacrificial activities do not result in join up for Pigol Le Shchita, Uzrika, Kabbalah, Vahilacha. That is quite to the contrast or contrary of that which we saw just a few lines above. And to see it quickly, as we mentioned before, just note where you see the dashed underlining just before you saw Mitstarfin. Here we've dashed underlined Ein Mitstarfois. Omar Rava. Rava attempts to answer. It says, Lo Kasha, there's no contradiction. Ha Rebbe, Ha Rabbanon. The source that says no Tziruf, that's according to Rebbe. The source that indicates there is Tziruf, that's according to the Rabbanon de Sanya. We have a source quoted in which we will see Shitas Rebbe. It says, Ha Shoichet es hakeves lechol chatzi zayas mechalazu, v'chein chaveroi lechol chatzi zayas mechalazu. We're talking once again about the Kivsei Atzeres, the sheep, the two sheep that are brought on Shavuos. And he has intention, while he's slaughtering one of the sheep, to eat a half olive quantity from one loaf. And he slaughters the second sheep with the intention of eating a half quantity of the other loaf. Rebbe says, Rebbe Omer Ani, Shezeh Kosher, that there is no Pigel. What do we see? we see that there is no tziruf during separate avodos. Here we have the shechita of one keves and then the shechita of the second keves. So the half aleph quantity that you have during each shechita do not join up. Omar le Abaye. Abaye says back to Rava that if one is going to use this source, the Kifsei Aseres source, to serve and explain the source before of Arba Avodas, Ein Mitzdarfos, and call that Rebbe, there is what to say. In other words, the sources are really not parallel. In simple terms, in the case of the Kifsei Aseres, there I can understand very well why there is no tziruf. However, in the Arba Avodas case, I wouldn't necessarily say the same thing. And the Gemara explains, Abaye explains. It's noteworthy in the flow of things how Abaye figures in this discussion. Abaye will appear in the upcoming lines as well. Omar le Abaye, Amar deshamis le Rebbe. I can understand that Rebbe says no tziruf. That's in a case like the Kifsei Atzeres case, Chatzi Matir v'Chatzi Achila, where each sheep is a mere Chatzi Matir. The Matir of the Shtei Alechem is the two sheep together are the Matir. Each sheep individually is called a Chatzi Matir. And during a Chatzi Matir, he has a Machshava concerning a Chatzi Achila, a very weak type of setup, a weak situation, weakness in terms of ability to generate a pikul. This is a weak story. However, in such a case, there Rebbe says there's no tziruf. Kulo matir v'chatzi achilo mi shamis lei. Let's say in the a person has a machshava of a chatzi, a half quantity, but during an activity that can be classified as a complete matir. As we saw before, shechita of a standard korban, not the kifsei atzeres, we have one animal. The shechita process of a singular animal korban is a complete matir. So if, let us say, he has a machshava of a chatzi zayas during shechita, and a second chatzi zayas during another complete matir, the zrikas adam is a complete matir with regard to the meat. Mi shamis le, does Rebbe say that in such a case there would be no tziruf? Not so. Abaye wants to say that where you have a machshava during a matir shalem, or two complete matirs, during which you have a chatzizayas thought during each one of these complete matirs, there Rebbe would concede that there is joining. In such a case, the Levi source, the Tony Levi source that says Ein Mitzdarfos, would be left unauthored. You'll notice we now have a brackets. Now these brackets are somewhat unique in their use, because at the same time you also see the triangle repositioning, continuing, indicating that we're really in the middle of a discussion. So why do we have these brackets here? The brackets are designed to show that Abaye's last point essentially stands till the end of the Gemara. There is an attempt to question what he says. Rova bar Avchonon will attempt to question Abaye. However, Abaye responds. And you can see this, if you go further into the bracketed section, you'll see a triangle later with a point facing up. That's Abaye's response. So the position that Abaye takes now, which essentially says that the Tony Levi source remains unauthored, in other words, we can't ascribe Levi as the author of the Levi source, that point remains, just like the triangle at the first wide at the where the fourth wide line where Abaye made his point has the triangle point facing up. The last triangle in this discussion will be positioned the same way, and that will take us to the end of the Gemara until the next Mishnah. We have a note that essentially says what we just spoke out, but let's read the note together all the same. The note is at the star that's placed at the inner margin. Sograyim elu, these brackets, einom l'shem dilug. They're not designed for skipping. You might say, obviously, if we close the brackets right before the Mishnah, there's nothing to skip to. So that's true. They're not here for any skipping. Ela marim, they show that the kuvas Abaye, shedocha tshuvas Rava, Abaye's response, which was in effect a rejection of Rava's answer, Abaye's response, nishar ad soif hasugya, remains till the end of this topic. The sochas agrayim, Rava bar noson makshe al Abaye, avokushya zu nidchasa. Within the brackets, Rava bar noson will attempt to ask on Abaye, but his question will be rejected. Continuing in the Gemara, Omale Rava bar Rav Chonon. Well, we just have to correct our what we said in our little note in the inside margin. The name is Rava bar Rav Chonon. He says to Abaye, "Ve'i is lei l'Rebbe." Kulo matir v'chatzi achilo. If, as you are explaining, that Rebbe holds there is tziruf in a case of a machsheves chatzi achilo during that which is a kulo matir, if he holds like that, then should he not issue a gezera, an additional stringency we call a gezera, lixor chatzi matir? The chatzi achila, that in the case of chatzi matir v'chatzi achila, also there should be tziruf, atu in anticipation of the case of kulo matir v'chatzi achila. The case of chatzi matir and chatzi achila was the case of the keves, one keves of the kivsei atzeres, during which he has a machshava concerning a chatzi zayas of one of the loaves, and he then has the same thing, the same setup. The same machshava during the second keves. Should he not rule that that too would be pigul? And by the way, and yet we saw in the source that he doesn't say that. But Rava bar Rav Chonon is asking, well, why shouldn't he forbid that case as well? Forbid meaning have it also result in a problem. Rebbe says in that source that it's kosher. Should he not say that at least rabbinically it should be rejected, it should be puzzle? That's what we mean by ligzor. Daha Rebbe Yossi Gazar v'Rabbonan Gazri. We see these Tanoim issuing gezeros in their respective cases, as the Gemara will now illustrate. So the whole question revolves around this. If Rebbe holds that one situation, one of the above mentioned situations, in fact, there is tziruf, should he not say that the other case, the case of the kivsei atzeres, also should be at least it should be posel and not kosher, as a result of making a gzeira prohibiting this lighter seeming case in anticipation of the more severe situation, which you said Rebbe acknowledges. The Gemara now goes on to show where these Tanoim, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan, make Gezeras. Rabbi Yossi Gozar Disnan. Here's a case of someone taking a handful of a meal offering, Lehaktir Levoinosu Lamochar, with the intention of offering the Levona, the spice that accompanies the meal offering, the next day, the wrong time. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Posel Ve'ebo Kores. For our purposes, we've dashed underline that which needs emphasis, Rabbi Yossi, in this particular instance. And we've also dot underlined the word posel. Posel is an expression indicating that there is a rabbinic problem. There's a gezeira, the ein bo kores. However, it's not real pigul. V'chachomim omrim pigul v'chayovim olav kores. The Rabbanan go further, but we're not at this instance interested in focusing on the Rabbanan. What we do see is that Rabbi Yossi makes a gzeira. Rabbanan nami gazri. The Rabbanan have a situation where they issue a gzeira. Disnan. The following case, pigel b'koymitz v'lo b'vona. One is offering a meal offering, and while he is taking the handful, he has a machshevas pigol, but he does not have any machshevas pigol while offering the lavona v'lo b'komitz, or the other way around. He has a machshevas pigol while offering the lavona, but not while dealing with the koymitz, the handful of meal offering. Rabbi Meir Oimer, pigol v'chayovin olav kores. Rabbi Meir is here stating his opinion that mefaglin b'chatzi matir, that one can create pigol when his machshava concerns one of the two matirin. In the case of a standard korban mincha, the offering of the handful and the lavona serve to matir the shirayim. V'chachomim omrim, we've dashed on the chachomim because, once again, this is what we want to emphasize. They say, ein boi kores ad shifagel b'chol hamatir, that there is no kores until one has machshevas pigol during both the komets and the lavona. But what we have to emphasize is that which is not written in here. True, they say there's no kores. However, the mincha is posel, and that is a function of the Rabbanan making a gezerah. And yet, Rebbe, in the case of the Kivsei Atzeres, said it was kosher. Omar Lei. Abaye responds to Rava Bar Rav Honon's question and says, you shouldn't be bothered by the fact that Rebbe, in the case of the Kivsei Atzeres, says that it's kosher. On the one hand, we make gezeros, and we see Tanoia making gezeros, forbidding lesser problematic situations in anticipation of more severe problematic situations. And yet, and that's something that everyone agrees with, that one does issue restrictions and stringencies, gezeros, but not all the time. And we will explain that now. Omar Lei, and this is, by the way, a long response of Abaye, and we've indicated this with a long marking. To the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, you see a triangle with its point facing up and a vertical dashed line, indicating that all of this material develops the point that Abaye is going to make. Hochi Hashta, how can you compare the cases of Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan where we saw they made gezeros to the case of Rebbe and the Kivsei Atzeres? Bishlama Hasam Goza Rabbi Yossi Koymetz de Lavona Otu Koymetz de Mincha. Rabbi Yossi said that in the case of someone taking the handful of the mincha with the intent of offering the lavona at the wrong time, in anticipation, and he said that that case would be possible in anticipation of a person taking the handful of the mincha with the intention of burning that very same handful. In that case, Rabbi Yossi says there's actual pigol, so that this, the case of the taking of the handful with anticipation of burning the lavona, is very closely related. It's very similar to a case of real pigol. So because the lavona case is very similar to the case of the burning of the komets, he makes a gezera. Let's see Rashi. Komets de lavona, Rashi that we're looking at is on the fifth line under the Gemara. Koymetz de lavona otu haktoras koymetz de mincha de domu lahadadi. They're similar to one another. Ube koymetz almanas laktu kumtsalim ochar. If someone takes a handful of meal offering with the intention of burning that very handful the wrong time next day, modi Rabbi Yossi de pigolu. That case would be actual pigol according to Rabbi Yossi. Therefore, the case that's, we'll call it, like one step away from that, where one takes the koymetz in anticipation of burning the lavona lamochar, he sees fit to make a gezera. Rabbanon Gazri, the Rabbanon made a gzera concerning a number of different cases. Kemetz Otu Kemetz Demin Chaschote. We saw the Rabbanon talk about a case where someone was mafagel during the Kometz and did not have a he took a handful with anticipation of burning the Kometz but did not include the burning of the Lavona. In that case, the Rabbanon said it would be posel in anticipation of a Minchas Chote situation. In a Minchas Chote situation, there is no Lavona. Where one takes a handful of meal offering with the intention of burning the Kometz itself, that creates literal pigol in the case of a Minchas Chote. So he says that even in a Mincha where there is Lavona, I will make a gzeira in anticipation of the case of the Minchas Chote, where that very same action would have been pigol mamish, literal pigol. Ulavona, the case of a standard mincha, where let us say a person took a handful, and we're talking of course within Shitas HaRabbanan, a person took his handful of meal offering in anticipation of burning the Lavona the next day, but not the Kometz. The Rabbanan say that it's posel in anticipation of a case where there is only Lavona, Lavona HaBaal BeBozichin. In such a case, if someone took the Bozichin with the anticipation of their being burnt the wrong day, there is no further Kometz, there's no further meal offering that's burnt. In that case, that would be total pigol with Lavona alone. What we should do is, with regard to the Lavona case, just read the Rashi for more accurate detail. The Rashi we're looking at, Lavona, Nami, Mechashev, Ashirayim, Bishas, Haktoras, Lavona. If a person is concerned or has wrong thoughts while burning the Lavona, concerning the Lechem Aponim, Dainu Tam Pasu Rabbonon Lemincha, this is the reason the Rabbonon, in a case of a standard meal offering that has the meal offering, the meal material, the grain material plus the Lavona, Gezeira Otu Mechashe Baktoras Lavona de Bozichin, in anticipation of a case of a type of burning where there is no Kometz, there's only the Bozichin, Dosu Pigul Gomorhu, Sheinak Tor Elohi, there is no other thing burnt other than the Lavona. So therefore the Rabbonon feel that in a case of a standard mincha that has Lavona and Kometz, that there's room to make a gzera in anticipation of a korban that has only Lavona in it that's burnt. And that's the case of the Lechem Aponim. Keves Nami Otu Keves Chavero. Bozoch Otu Bozoch Chavero. The Rashi in Dibor Maskel Keves. Keves, the Amri Abonim Masdisin, Shochat Echod Minakvosim, Lechol Shnei Chalois Lemochor. O Hikter Echod Minabozichin, Lechol Shnei Sidorim Lemochor. The Amri, the Ko Amri Rabbonon, Ein Bo Kores, Apostle Ika. These are the cases we described. The Lavona case we described. That was the one Bozach. In it, having a machsheves pigol during the offering of one bozach to eat the two stacks of bread the wrong time the next day, there the rabbanon say it will be pasul as a gzeira in anticipation of someone having the same machsheves pigol during the second bozach, which would be a true pigol situation. And with the case of the kvosim, if he shechs one of the kivsei atzeres, there are two of them, he shechs one of them with the intention of eating the breads at the wrong time, there they rule that it's posel in anticipation of his shechting the second keves with the same intention. That would create true pigel. Turning back to the Gemara, Elohocha, in the case of the Kivsei Atzeres, where he slaughters one of the sheep, not with the intention of eating both loaves, but he slaughters one of the sheep with the intention of eating a half kezias. So, mi'ika, is there any other situation of chatzi matir v'chatzi achila ba'almo? The lekum v'ligzar? Is there any situation, any other situation of a chatzi matir and a chatzi achila that would be problematic, that would necessitate making a gezerah over here by the Kivsei Atzeres, where he shechts one of the kvasim with the intention of eating a half a zayas? As a result of there being no other case that would be problematic, therefore, in this case, I don't make a gezerah. When do I, yes, make a gezerah? When I have a situation that right now may in and of itself not be problematic, but there's a parallel case that would be problematic, a similar case that would be problematic, as we finished illustrating in numerous examples in the last few lines. So this is Abaye's point. Now, the Gemara bolsters this point. Hochi nami mistabro de taimo de rabbona mishum hochi hu. It's most likely that this is the reasoning behind the rabbona when they rule that something is puzzle. That they're ruling something is puzzle is because that particular case is very similar to another case that would be totally pigal, that would be real pigal. The Katoni Seifa. The Seifa says, Moidim Chachomim L'Rebbe Meir. The Chachomim concede to Rebbe Meir, B'minchas Chote U'minchas Knois. In the case of the sin offering, meal offering, and the Sota meal offering, Shimpigel B'Koimetz Shepigul V'Chayovin Oleo Kores. Shehakoimetz Hu Hamatir. Whereas the Rabbonin disagree with Rebbe Meir in the case of a standard mincha offering, namely a mincha that has meal plus lavona, there Rebbe Meir says that if you have a machshava during concerning just one of them, if one takes the handful of komets with the intention of burning the lavona the next day, according to the mayor, that becomes pigul. That's called mefaglin b'chatzi matir. The Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Meir in that case. However, in the case of a minchas chote, minchas kenos, where there is no lavona, where there's just the komets, so he takes the komets with the intention of burning it the next day, the Chachamim concede to Rabbi Meir that that is pigul, and one who eats the shirayim will be chayev kores. Sha koimetsu amatir, the koimets is the matir. In fact, it's the only matir. The Gemara asks, well, ha, lama li lemisno klal pshita, miiko matir achrino, what do I have to teach this for altogether? Is there, the source says the koimets is the matir. It's obvious in this case, there is no other matir. Elolav ho komash molon. Rather, this is what is being conveyed. The taimo, the koimetz, the reason in the case of the minchas nidova, that if he's mefagil b'koimetz and not b'levona, the reason that it's posel is mishum the iko koimetz de minchas chote de domilei, because there's the case of the minchas chote where in that case there is no lavona, there's only the komets, that results in real pigul. So since there is a similar case of taking a komets with machshava concerning komets alone, that's real pigul, therefore in the case of minchas nedava where the komets is not alone but there's also the lavona, nevertheless, if he has machshava concerning the komets alone in a minchas nedava, the rabbanon will rule that although it's not pigul, it is pasul, because or in anticipation of the case of the minchas chote where there is no lavona at all, and that the komets is the only matir. The Mishnah, nitmeis achas min achalois oy echod min asdorim. If one of the two loaves of the Shnei Alechem of Shavuos, or one of the stacks of the two stacks of the Lechem Aponim become Tomei, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shneim Yetzu LeBeis HaSreifa, both of them are to be discarded and burnt. She'ein Korban Sibur Choluk, you can't have a public sacrifice that's split, that's half acceptable and half unacceptable. V'chachomim omrim ha'tomei b'tumasoi v'hator yochal. The Chachomim say, the tomei, that which became tomei, is tomei, and that will have to be burnt. But that which is tor can be eaten. Omer b'lozer, machlokes lifnei zrika. This machlokes Rabbeinu l'Chachomim is a case before the Zrikas Adam was done. Let's say in the case of the Kivsi Atzeres, the sheep are slaughtered, and in that particular instance, the Tumah set in on the loaf before the Zrikas Adam was done. In such a case, Rabbi Yehuda will tell you that they both have to go to Beis HaSreifa. Havol li'achar Zrika, if the Tumah set in after the Zrika, which means that during the time of the Zrika, everything was done properly, and everything was kosher and tohor. Divrei HaKol, even Rabbi Yehuda, HaTomei B'Tumasoi V'HaTor Yochal, or Ye'ochel. The Tomei has to be dealt with as that which is Tomei, but the tohor can be eaten. The Gemara asks, "Ulefnei zriko b'maiko mifligi?" Before where the tumah sets in, before the sprinkling of the blood, what's the root of the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? Why is it that the Chachamim are willing to say that it's considered acceptable and that the Torah can be eaten? Omar of Papa betzitz meratzal achilas komifligi. The point of controversy between them concerns the power of the tzitz, of the Kohen Gadol, the golden headplate that the Kohen Gadol wears, its power, its ability to allow for, or we could say for, to cover, to atone for, if you will, issues of tumah concerning items that otherwise are to be eaten. Rabbonon savri hatzitz meratze al achilois, Rabbi Yehuda savar ein hatzitz meratze al achilois. Let's take a look at Rashi at the top. Rabbonon savri hatzitz meratze al tumas achilas kohanim. The tzitz covers for items that are ordinarily eaten by the kohanim. In our case, we have the shtei alechem, we have the lechem upon him. These are items that are divided up to the kohanim for their eating. Does the tzitz meratze lemehevei zrika shenizrika aleim zrika malyasa? Let's go over our case again. We have the two kivsei atzeres. We shechted the kivsei atzeres, and tuma set in on one of the loaves. Can the zrika be done and expect the zrika, the sprinkling of the blood, after tumah set in on one of the loaves? Can we say that the sprinkling is considered an effective sprinkling to make this considered a good, a kosher korban? Umiu, however, one must bear in mind, kimaratzet tzitz, when we talk about the tzitz being effective, lemeve korban ma'alya, that's to make it considered, the tzitz enables or activates it or makes it such that the korban is considered an acceptable sacrifice. Avol tomei lo mishteri b'achila, but we're not saying by any circumstance that the tzitz also serves to purify, so to speak, the loaf that became tomei. The loaf that became tomei remains forbidden for consumption. That one who eats it, the avarle belav me'avoser v'habosar sheyiga b'chol tomei lo yochal. There would be a prohibition, a violation of this lav if one were to eat the tomei loaf. However, what we are saying is that the presence of the tzitz makes it such that you have done your Torah requirement of offering the kivsei atzeres together with the shtei halechem. And you don't have to make it up. You've done, the zrikas adam is considered an effective zrika to make this considered a legitimate sacrifice. On the other hand, or the other opinion, that is of Rabbi Yehuda, says that ein hatzitz meratz al achilos, that the tzitz is not effective to cover, to metahir, so to speak, or justify the sacrifice when the tuma set in on something that ordinarily would be eaten. And as a result, Rashi points out that even though only one of the two loaves became tameh, the other loaf will remain osur b'achila, because the zrika sadam is not considered an effective zrika. Once again, because the tzitz is not effective in meratze, in allowing for the zrika to be considered effective when tuma set in on one of the elements that otherwise would have been eaten. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.